we are here. Are we here? Are we here? Are we here? I got to get the one that goes up and down because Ashley's too short for me. Well, we just finished up a set of revival services. They were very good. I know a few were sick, but it was very good. I'm glad you all were a part of that and participated in that. And a few phone calls afterwards from the guys that they all enjoyed being here. It was probably, I would say, our best revival that we've had in the 17 years we've been here. And that is a really good piece. So that was really good. We didn't have any salvations or baptisms, you know. Sometimes God will bless the church with that. And other times he'll bless in other areas. And we need to have exactly what we had. And so we're looking forward. And the true part of revival is that it doesn't end on the service. It truly just begins on the last service. Does that make sense? So that's a good piece that we got to experience. So today I don't have my New King James Version. I just left it at home because Carla is sick. And so I went to go check on her one last time and then went down and grabbed the wrong Bible. So I was like, what are we doing? So I got my home and I just had to pull one off the shelf upstairs in my office. So this is where we're going to be today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians this morning. And I'm going to ask you a question. Do you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Can you love him in the good times and the bad times?
Yes.
Okay. Also, do you love the church? The church? Do you love the church? Means you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Also, I'd ask you, do you love this church? You know, do you love the community? Do you love this community? And today we're going to be looking at what Paul writes to the people of Thessalonica. We're going to see what he writes to them, how his heart is poured out to a people. I just love for us to have this heart. As leaders in the church, you can either just fulfill a position in a church or volunteer in the church, or you can be a leader in a church, volunteer in the church, serve wherever you need to serve, and really do it in a heart. Do it out of your heart, not just out of kindness, but you do it out of your heart. You do it because you love. And I think we struggle with the word love because we want to love people that look like us and not look like people that don't look like us. We don't want to love. And let me tell you something really quick. We struggle with that. We struggle with that. We say we love people, but can you sit next to a black person? Can you eat at a table with a black person? I'm just asking. Because if you say you love people, you got to love people not by what they look like, but because God's created them in the image that he created them in. Racism is so strong still today, and it's never going to be wiped out because it's a sinful thing. It's not going to be wiped out until we stand before God, us as believers. Paul's going to open up here. We're going to glance through this little book, this little letter here. We're going to glance through it and I've got about four or five places I want to stop at so we can just kind of look at. But I want to tell you that church work and serving the Lord is not easy. It is hard work when you do it the right way. It is not easy. I'm telling you, it is not easy. Because there's a lot of adversity going on. You're going against the ways of the world. You're doing something that draws attention, that people don't like it, because it puts a light on sin. It puts a light on the darkness in the world. Even churches struggle with it. We're going to start in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our visit with you was not without result. On the contrary, after we had previously suffered and we were treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, we were emboldened by our God to speak the gospel of God to you in spite of our great opposition." One thing Paul did not do, Paul did not stop. He did not stop ministering wherever he went. There were places he would go to that were good and easy There were places that he would go to that were good, but they were really hard. He was saying that in Philippi, there was a great experience in Philippi, but it was so hard there that there was a lot that treated him, they were treating them wrongly because they shared the gospel. We also see here that they're going to speak it out there. There's going to be great opposition. The more you walk with the Lord, the more you shine the light of God, there's going to be some opposition. I don't care what you do, but there's going to be opposition. This whole thing of where there's no opposition. You see those days of the 40s and 50s? Those are over. Those days are over. Those are the glory days of the church. And after each day, after that, each decade just kind of went a little bit they strengthened in some areas, but in a lot of areas, more pushback began. As the church grew, the more pushback and opposition began. And we see that here today. The problem is now, it isn't that the churches are all focused on Jesus, that we've gotten focused a lot of times on the business side of church, on the other things of the church. And what happens is when you get used to certain things, you begin to realize people think that they cannot make it without those things. So we're going to know here that Paul's got some opposition that he has been. Wherever he goes, it seems like there's opposition. And so we're going to read this piece here. As I said, we're going to roll through some things here. Now he goes over to verse 17. Now, here it is. If you love the church, you're going to want to be with the church. If you love God's people, you're going to want to be with God's people. He says, but as for us, brothers, after we were forced to leave you for a short time, in person, not in heart, we greatly desired and made every effort to return and see you face to face. Have you ever taught a Sunday school class or a group in church, or you ever done something and give it to somebody else, and you turned around and stepped away from it, and you wanted to go and check on it? Some people will want to check on it because they feel like nobody can do it like them. And maybe not. And maybe so. Some people want to go and check on it because maybe I, as a pastor, have been guilty of this, taking you out of a spot and moving you to another spot. And then we feel like, oh, it's not going to work because you moved me and this and that. But others will feel this. Here it is. They will want to go back and check on it because of this. They put so much into it. And they're not. And it's not a jealousy thing. Because if jealousy and envy comes up, then it's wrong. It's the wrong attitude. What it is you just love those people. You want to make sure that it's going good. You want to be an encouragement to them. You want to be an encouragement. And Paul says that. I would love to come. But he goes on to verse 18. He says, so we wanted to come to you. Even I, Paul says time and again, I want to come back and check you guys out. I want to come and I want to fellowship with you. I want to come and I want to worship with you. But he says this, but Satan himself hindered us. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what else you do in the world, whether you're a doctor, you can be a lawyer, you can be a construction worker, you can be a computer programmer, you can be all those things, and you're good at it in life. You're going to have bumps in all your occupations. All of you have tough days whenever you go to work. You have good days where you go to work. But I want to tell you, when you get involved with God's work, are you looking at me now? You get in God's work, do not think this is going to be a cakewalk. It is the most attacked thing in the world. Because you're doing God's business. You're doing the church work the way that God wants it to happen. And so there is going to be some hindering, times of hindrance. And he says here, but Satan has hindered us. He has stopped us from coming. Somebody, you know, we can say all kinds of things about that. But I want to tell you, there are times when Satan will continue to stop us from doing certain things. Does that mean we quit, we tap out? No, we keep going because we know we're going to get through that storm. And so we know that those things are going to happen. It amazes me how many people get involved in a church ministry, and once we get a little storm in it or there's a little bump in it, they take up and they get upset and they quit and they walk out. But Paul has a hunger and a love for the church. He says, for who is our hope? He says, for who is our hope or our joy or our crown of boasting in the presence of our Lord Jesus that is coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy. What Paul is saying is, listen, when I stand before God, I don't want to be alone. I want my church, I want my people to be with me, my brothers and sisters to be with me. And where I worked and where I served, I want to see some of those people here with me as well. Not just me, I want to be, this is the person who loves the church. This is the person who loves God's people. I don't want to be the only one standing in front of God. I want to see some of the effects of the work that I serve God here on earth. That they are my joy, they are my glory, they are my crown. We're going to stand, I want to do it together with you. I want to do that. And so here's a different attitude than what we have in the church today. He says, for you are our glory, you are our joy. It's you, it's not all the things that we do, it is you. It's you. And that's part of growing up in Jesus. You all that took that challenge, growing up in Jesus, it's a part of it. Understanding, knowing that your glory and your joy in this world is not what you have, it's not what you do in the church, it's not those things, but the people that come alongside of you, the people that through your ministry or whatever you do, that they also will be standing there with you because of the efforts that you put through, the work that you put through, the studies that you put through, the work and the service that you did in the local church, that there are people in the community that are there. Because of you. He goes on. Verse 5 of chapter 3. Like I said, I'm going to move through kind of quickly. He says, for this reason, when I could no longer stand it, Paul says this, I was also sent to find out about your faith. I also sent him to find out about your faith, fearing that the tempter had tempted you, and that our labor might be for nothing, or we might labor in vain, as the other version would say, labor, that we not labor in vain. Here it is. He wants to know what's going on. He says, I can't go right now. I just can't. I want to go, Satan hindered. I can't go right now. I want to get down there. I want to see you guys so bad. I want to go. I need to be there. But I can't. So I'm going to send somebody. I'm going to send this guy, Timothy. They sent Timothy. He said, I want to find out what's going on because I have this feeling when you pray for people, you feel for them. Is your prayer life filled with people in the church? Is your prayer life filled with others besides yourself? And Paul has been doing that. And he said, we've been praying for you in these other prayer scriptures. We long to see you. But he says, I can't do this. I can't stand it any longer. I need to send somebody to come check you out. Because I fear what the tempter may have done, and maybe he had pulled you away. And he says, I don't want my work to be done. I don't want to labor in vain. I don't want our labor to be done in vain. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not interested in getting a keys to another building right now. I'm just not. You may think that I am, or you may think that my goal is to get as many keys and buildings in this community as possible. If they don't help and serve this community and lead people to Christ and share the gospel, I don't want these buildings. But my heart breaks because they're not reaching people. Did you hear what I just said? And not seeing the women. We've seen one come back from the revival. It was great to see her. We're not seeing them come back out of the Women's Life House. We're not seeing them come through from the meal ministry. I know Susan's working down at the thrift store, just trying to tell her it's more than just a store, and she gets that. It's more than just a store, but it's a place where you can share the gospel. It's a place where you can pray with people and give out some church literature and use it as a ministry tool. It's not just a place to try to raise a few dollars to help these ministries. All these buildings are for something. They're for something, and they're not for my status. They're not for this church's status, but they are there to be tools to share the gospel to people. That's what they're here for. That's why we have them. And there are some things that are wrong in this community. There are some things. We worked hard in the last 10 years. We worked hard from day one. Every building we've gotten, we've had problems, and we've always tried to take care of them the best that we could. And it takes a lot of time to work on buildings that are over 100 years old. But also, no, I feel like the spiritual problems in this community are 100 years old. Does that make sense? And we have to continue to work on this building. We have to continue to work on the community, although the community doesn't seem like they want to receive us. And why is that? Because we want to share the gospel. It's not about the ministries. It's about sharing the gospel. It's about people changing their lives. It's about people stepping up out of the murk and the mud and the sinful lifestyle, stepping up and allowing Jesus to start cleaning them up. But I'm not seeing it. It's very slow. But I think if we would have built a basketball gymnasium and create a basketball program, we would fill up. I'm just being honest. So I relate with Paul here. My hunger and desire is to see the church filled. I look back and one of the prior missionaries from Kentucky did some research on this building and this community. Did you know this church building at one time had 1,000 members? That the pictures would show that this room was full, that this stage was actually shrink back to here. It was very, very small. It was way back here. This was all filled up with pews. They opened up this here. They used they used those little boxes up there as rooms. They opened those up. They were open. Even down in here, they could fill like 700-800 people in here. If you got a membership of 1,000, they're not going to come on a Sunday. And God gave me the idea of just to imagine, could we get back to a day that was even better than that? But not for showboat. Not for just numbers. But seeing that there was a change in the community. And Paul says, I love it so, you love you guys so much, I'm going to send somebody, even though I can't come, I'm going to send them and have them check on you and then be an encouragement to you. He goes over into verse 11, and he says, now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. There's a desire. He still wants to get there. And may the Lord cause you to increase. Let's stop for a minute. Increase. May the Lord cause you to increase, that the church would grow. Is it that we might not be growing sometimes because we are not thinking positive, that we feel like that we're not going to grow? I know that there's a piece there that I've said back about our multi-sites, that we're going to have multi-sites. We may be smaller, but we'll be bigger through multi-site. But that doesn't mean that we can't not grow here physically. Because there's plenty of seats here, and there's plenty of people out there. My heart breaks because I fear that there's a lot of pastors in this community that do not love their people. That love more of the status quo of being the pastor, or fear that they'll lose their job if they'll preach the word the way that it's supposed to be. I fear that there are many who are called by the Lord Jesus Christ here in this community. But I believe many of us have fallen to the wayside, to falling to the other things that popped up in the 90s and the early 2000s that are still even in with us today, that have caused us to kind of slide away from that first love of Jesus and to slide into the love of ministry, the love of numbers. It is not wrong for a church to grow. It is not wrong for a church to be a whatever number, 5,500, whatever. It's not wrong. It's whatever God is doing in that church. Sometimes you need a lot of people. Sometimes you don't. But there are not enough people. Every time I drive into Huntington, there's too many cars sitting in the driveway. Too many cars sitting on the side, on the side streets. They're full. But yet, when I drive, I usually never pull up behind anybody behind a red light. I usually can turn always right on red because there's nobody else around me. I do want to tell you that we're not losing the war, because we already know how that ends. But I will say that sometimes we lose battles that we should not lose. We lose some battles that we should not lose. And Paul is telling, listen, that the Lord may cause you to increase. When the church is increasing and it's increasing in number, it's an encouragement to the local body. It's an encouragement to the local body. It's an encouragement because we start seeing some of the fruits from our labor. And I'm struck sometimes because of other scripture where it says, for much is given, much is acquired. More God gives you, there's the much, then there's a required much from that. Also, it says right after that in the same verse, it says, where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. So the more God entrusts you with things, the more He's going to ask you for things. Great responsibilities. Great responsibility to be a servant of God. That's a great responsibility to be in leadership in a church. It's a great responsibility to be a member of a church. If you think you can just sit and do nothing, then you are fooling yourself. God's Word says you were bought at a price. And the price was at His Son's life. The blood is the remission of sin. And it was all for us to redeem us, but not to let us to go back to places and do nothing, but it is to get behind the Lord and to take His Word and learn from it and be examples. And as the Bible says, to be the light of the world in this darkness, to start shining it. But it looks sometimes like the church lights are dim, like they're closed for business. But yet people are inside, but it looks like it's closed for business. Age doesn't have anything to do with serving the Lord. Can I tell you that? We got young people serving the Lord. We have older people serving the Lord. It doesn't matter about your age. It matters that you just find a place to serve. Too many people in this community, I know that some of them come in this community. I'm going to be straight up and honest. Come in here. Tell me because I'm not King James only, they're not going to come. And then I see him pick up a whiskey bottle right down the street. Now you tell me what's more important, me preaching on a King James or a Holman or a new King James? And then go right down the street and pick up a whiskey bottle and I see him staggering down the street. But he's got his conviction that I should be preaching a new King or a King James only. And I'm just saying, this is the stuff, this is the, and they claim, I'm a Christian. Listen. We all have room to grow up in Jesus. No, we need to be growing up, not going in reverse. You got a one-shot time in this world. One-shot time. I'm 52, I can't get my 40s back. I can't get my 30s back. Some of you are 25. You think, oh, I'm young. But when you hit 30, your 20s are done. And you feel it for the first time when you get about 25. You're thinking, wow, I can't even relate to high school students anymore. Is that about right? You think they're weird and odd. You were there, but it was only a few years ago. That's how fast you can get out of it. You got to stay in it. You got to stay in what God has for us as believers. No matter what your age is, we're still supposed to be family. But he says this, that we would increase. But he also says an overflow with love. So some of your verses might say abound in love. And we're supposed to be, if there's supposed to be somebody that loves people, it's supposed to be us. Now, I want to get you to understand that just because you walk around with a big old stick and a sign that might have a rainbow on it, or it might have abortion with a big circle and an X on it. And listen, it don't mean they love people. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean they love people. You can stand for something, but it don't mean you love people. You can love what you stand for, but it doesn't mean you love people. Because those people, many times, are the first ones to start yelling at everybody else. And when you're doing that, you're not what? You're not loving people. You're not loving people. When your love is at a high, where it needs to be with the Lord is, listen, you're going to look at people as people. We struggle because we're in the, our flesh pops up from time to time. Our flesh pops up from time to time. But we are to be abound. We are to be the difference in the community, and we're not making a difference like we should because we're living like those who are we trying to make a difference for. And we're struggling. We're struggling. We are struggling. And we need to step up. And we need to let love flow through us. The community doesn't know any different. Community is about getting up and living and surviving. Get what's mine. When you became a Christian, your mind began to battle because that's how you thought at one time. You get me, I'm going to get you. You say something to me, I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to say something to you. You say something to my kid, I'm going to say something about you. You do something to me, I'm going to walk over to you and I'm going to take care of business. one of my studies, I'm not going to say who, not here, but one of my other group studies, somebody said, somebody almost hit my daughter walking across the street. I took my car and I slammed into his truck. That was last week. I slammed my vehicle right into his vehicle. And then I backed up and did it again. He said, oh, they'll probably see me, but I don't care. It's the way of the world. You go after me, I'm going to go after you. The love of God is different than that. Paul loved the people that he's writing to. It doesn't mean they were all doing the right thing. Paul loved the people of Corinth, and I'm going to tell you, you talk about a messed up church of people. The people of Corinth was a messed up. Those Corinthians were a messed up people. They were sexually all wrong. They were mentally just, they were unstable in so many areas. And they were so much immature in their walk with the Lord. And Satan has got a stronghold in there. And yet, Paul still loved them and he didn't give up on them. And he wrote them even another letter. And it was long and it was talking to them about love. And they struggled, but Paul didn't give up on them. And we can't give up on this church. We can't give up on this community. If anybody's going to do it, we've got to do it because we are planted right here in the heart of the downtown area. We've got to do everything that we can to try to make a difference. I want to tell you, I feel like they're daring us to do it now. I feel like they're daring us to do it. I know church work is hard. I know it is. Sometimes you feel like you're the only one and somebody else is next to you, the only two or three or four that's doing it. And the flesh comes in and you say things you shouldn't say. Just turn over to chapter 5. I like how Paul ends this thing. He's got a few things he wants to say. You know one thing I love about Paul's letter is he can get hard on you and then he comes back and he encourages you. I like that. He encourages us through these letters. And we need to be encouraged today. We just came through a revival. We're strengthened in those areas. And listen, today, you know, I preach a lot about sin and conviction and alcohol and drugs and a lot of those things we throw in because a lot of our people struggle with that. But today, this is about the church. This is about us being the Christian that we need to be, that God wants us to be, that we can make a difference in this community. We don't have a basketball court. We don't have those. We don't have a gymnasium. We don't have a big hall for that kind of stuff. We don't. We don't have the band up here. I'd love to have that one day, but maybe we don't. But Ashley's doing a good job, I think. We don't have all that up here, which I'd like to see, but we don't have all that. We don't have an elevator in our church. Some churches actually have elevators. It's okay, they have a lot of elder people up and down. We don't have those things. We don't have the best children's church ministry where you walk in, you feel like you're in ultra zone or you feel like you're in kiddie land, and every time a kid wants to come to church, they're like, I'm going to go to church because they got all the balls and all the colors, and I mean they got thousands of dollars wrapped up into it, and the kids run in there and it's like, woo, they have a great time. We don't have that. We don't have immaculate cafe area for youth to hang out with surfboards on the wall and music and all that. We don't have all that. God's given us a soup kitchen to feed people that struggle getting the daily meal or just need that extra piece, that extra meal to help them financially. Sometimes they come in and they don't smell so great. Sometimes they wet themselves right there in the seat, being honest. But God's given us that instead of a gymnasium. God has given us a house for women who struggle in their life with their addictions or with whatever it is, or their abuse in their family, or just the being pushed out, or probation, or coming out of prison, whatever it may be. God's given us a house for those people, for the broken people. He didn't give us an amazing youth center. And we have a house to finish next door. God just didn't give us the Church on the Hill with 500 people or 1,000 people with a budget that's just amazing. And there's extra money in the bank too. I call that a golden calf, but anyway. God give us a building across the street. Now, can I share with you? I've not shared with you about that building across the street, have I much? I know I got a little riff on it, why we need another building. Let me tell you something. God came to us with that building. Just like he, did you know this building came to us? We were serving over there, and our heat system went out, and whatever. The people that were here walked over there and said, hey, we heard you're looking for a building. Would you like a tour of ours? They came to us. They came to us. The building across the street, the church, old church across the street, they came to us. Hey, would you guys like to buy this on a short sale? Huh? We looked at it before, but it was way overpriced. We couldn't afford it, couldn't do it. We got the building for $20,000. But what I see over there is a visionary pastor. What I see over there is a conference center to bring young pastors in. Pastors in the community, pastors to come in and have a conference, those conference setting there. Also to be able to, once in a while, if they want, is the police and our emergency people to come over and have their own trainings over there. I also see our drug addiction classes going from here to over there. Our life skill classes going from to over there. Right now in conversations with the counseling agency that we're connected with in our church, that they would like to put an office in Huntington, and we've been talking, what does that look like if they would put it in across the street? Let me tell you something, and I'm not going to say a name because I don't want to get anybody upset, but anyway. Just because you're a counselor don't mean you give good counsel. Best counsel I ever known is right here. It's the good stuff. And I know some people with bipolar, they need their pills. I get that, and I know we can go into the spiritual part of that. I get that too. But let's just say some people need a pill. But there's something wrong, in my opinion, when you're giving out 15 prescriptions. And some of it, if we would just go to the Word of God and surrender our hearts over to Him and let God do a work on us instead of letting Dr. So-and-so do it. And that's, I'd rather partner with ones in Fort Wayne than the ones here. And that's all I'm going to say. Because God has a plan. His plan is a good plan. His stuff is the good stuff. But the world will push against it. This is why we're not doing recovery works. Remember what I told you last. We're not into recovery works. Okay? I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take that money. But Paul says this in chapter 5. He wants to give something positive. I want to give you something positive today. Okay? I want to give you something positive today. First of all, before we get in, I want to tell you this. God's still doing some amazing things in New Life Fellowship. I don't think He's done with New Life Fellowship. I don't think He's done with me quite yet. I'm getting a little bit older, but I don't think He's done with me quite yet. I didn't get into this because I wanted to be a pastor. I got into this because God called me to be. I have never sent my resume anywhere else. Although there were a time or two I thought about it. But I always know this. God's Spirit still speaks. And if you shut up just for a moment, He might just tell you something. You might just hear something. So, I've never looked out and said, hey, I want to go find another place because it got too hard. No, God is still doing amazing things. Why leave where God is working? Why leave where God is working? And God is working here. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. If God opens up the floodgates in this community, the broken people, guess where they're going to come? Right here. Because they would not be accepted in some of our churches in town. And some of them would not go because it's too far away. And those people don't look like us. Okay? Even they say the same thing. If we walked around in suits and knocked on doors, half the people wouldn't even open the door because of wear suit. I walk around, I'm not going to wear a suit. I'm not going to wear a tie. I need to fit in. But Paul says this. Verse 15. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. We're in this together, so let's be good together. If somebody doesn't say something wrong, we need to go forward. Love them. And pursue what God's called us to do. You're not always going to get along with everybody in the church. Can I say that? We're not always going to get along, everybody in the church, all right? We're supposed to, but we don't. We struggle with it from time to time. But Paul says this. He says, 16, he says, rejoice always. We have a lot to rejoice about. I have a lot to rejoice about. First of all, I can tell you this. I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I can just tell you the list today, and you're a believer, you that have, you have all the promises that God gives to us for eternity. Amen? I'm going to heaven. I know that. I'm going to heaven. I get killed in a car wreck, I'm going to heaven. Some of you got family members right now, like my dad and Andrew and a lot of people like that. They're in heaven right now. That's the good stuff that God's given to us. That's stuff we can rejoice. They may not be with us today, but I'm going to see them again. And I love that. There's going to be a reuniting again. And that is, Paul says, you know what? Church work is tough. But listen, rejoice in those things that you know. Because we're not going to be doing this work forever. There's going to be a day we're going to stand in front of God. Yeah, we're going to give an account. But there's going to be a day that we're going to stand in front of God. We're going to get to see God. We're going to be, oh my gosh. And we're going to be with all of the other believers and all those family members that have preceded us in death. And we're going to get to see Jesus. That's all the good stuff. But right now, we got a work to do. But we can rejoice in that because our future is amazing. My future is better than my present. Okay? Number two, I need to pray consistently, constantly. I need to pray because that keeps me in tune and connected with Jesus. I need to pray because that lets me hear from the Holy Spirit. God's got something to say. Conversations are not one-sided. I have a tendency to do that from time to time. But it is two-way. God says has things to say too. His Holy Spirit, God speaks to His Holy Spirit. Amen? So I need to pray constantly, not just for myself, but for you. I'll pray for those things that I love. I love my wife. She's not feeling good today. I love my family. But I prayed for some of you this morning. I prayed for Randy this morning as he preaches over in our sister church. I prayed for you on a weekly basis. Some of you I pray more for others because of what you're going through. But I need to pray constantly because it keeps me connected with Jesus in my conversation. And my hearts are connected. And you hear more from God when you're living the way God wants. You hear more from God when you're praying. You hear more from God when you're reading. You hear more from God when you're doing the godly things. Amen? But also need to give thanks in everything. It's not always about asking, but always when God answers, we need to give thanks for those things. Thank you, Lord. I see so-and-so today. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. Thank you, Lord, for having such a great revival. Thank you for giving us these ministries. Thank you for the people that we have today. Thank you for the funds that you've given to us. Thank you for this community. You've given us a broken community. You're trusting us to reach out to them. Lord, you've given them to us, and we need to take care of that. We need to thank you for your promises. And we can just keep thanking God so much, can't we? Good song this morning. So much to thank him for. He says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, because it's good to thank God. It's also good to say, thank you for singing this morning. It's also good to say, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing. And it encourages us. I think when we thank God, it puts a smile on God's face. It's not just getting on my Christmas list. And then the last one I want to talk about for a minute. Well, not the last one, but second to last. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Can I give you a real easy one for do not grieve the Holy Spirit? You're laying in bed, it's Sunday morning, do I get up or not? Do I get up and go to church because I don't feel like going today? And so we lay back in and we grieve the Holy Spirit because we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. We're not being active. We're not being where we should be. And so we're grieving the Holy Spirit. It's like the Holy Spirit says, you know, when you say, I know I'm supposed to get up, the Holy Spirit is pulling you. But we just say, that's something easy, but it's happened every Sunday. You know, why do we struggle with being at church on Sunday, but all the other things we do? We show up where we're supposed to show up because I want that money. I got to go to work. I want to go to that ball game because my kid's playing there. I want to go do this because that's for me. I need to support my family members, so I'm going to be there. I need to be at the doctor's office because I got this issue. But we grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't want to get up and go to church. Listen, I want to be honest with you. I've had kids. I've had three kids, and many of you know, I dragged my kids everywhere I went doing ministry. Everywhere I went. I would apologize for it. I loved it. And then I taught them, and I was pulling in them. And I remember it was, I don't remember which one. It might have been Grant, or it might have been Alan. I don't remember which. I think it was Grant. And it was in one of those little walkers, and an all-nighter over even the gospel community when I was over there. In one of those little, you just go walking around. He stayed up all night long. I'm going to bring him anyway. My kids were never a hindrance. My kids were part of me. So I brought them wherever I went and whatever I did because I loved them and I knew that they would hear things from the scriptures and even when they were little that it was important for them to hear that no matter how deep the discussion was. It was good for them. My kids were never a bad thing. Never a hindrance, never a crutch. So I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit with my kids. Now do I have some things I wish I would have done better with my boys? Of course I do. Any father does. There's some things I wish I'd had this conversation, that conversation, but I can't go back and do that now. I can do it in different ways, but I can't go back. So I grieve the Holy Spirit sometimes in how I raise my kids. I grieve the Holy Spirit on how I do certain things. But here it is. He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If God's calling you to do a work for Him, get busy. If you don't know what you're doing, talk to somebody that has done it. Come up to me. Talk to me. We'll get you in where you need to go. But don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We'll end with that. Because grieving the Holy Spirit is something you don't want to do. When you talk bad about the church, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Because really, it's not my church. A lot of pastors say, that's my church. No, we may say, that's my church. That's my church. We say that. That's my church. But whose church really is it? And when you talk bad about the church, you're talking bad about this church. Now, he might have some bad leaders in there, might be some men in there that are in the pulpit that are living a lifestyle of unrighteousness, and God's going to deal with that. Listen, your sin always is going to come out, no matter who you are. And you pay a heavy price when you're a pastor and you get caught. You pay a heavy price. We grieve the Holy Spirit, folks. Anytime we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. Anytime we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. When we're fighting in our marriages, we're fighting with our husband, we're fighting with our wife, we grieve the Holy Spirit because we're not in tune. Because the Bible says, for two come together, they shall become one, and there's division in that one. I always say it like this, two married people is like two people, just both of them wanting it their way. That's all. That's all. That's what the fight's come about. She wants it her way, and he wants it his way. Same thing happens in the church. Always begins arguments. Satan always trying to take it to division. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Love the church. Love the church. Love God's people. But not just God's people. Love those people out there. You're a millionaire, a billionaire, a trillionaire compared to them. You are rich in everything compared to them. They may drive something better than you. They may live in something better than you. But you are a child of God. And you will inherit the kingdom. And all those things that God has for you. Let's not be selfish and hold it. Let's start sharing what God has offered to you that we are to offer to the community. I don't know where you are with your heart and your attitude. This is kind of more of an attitude message, a little different than I normally preach. But I think that we need to make sure that our heart is right before we move forward in what God's called us to do. That our heart is right with God, that our heart is right with the church, that our heart is right about the community. And maybe you need to seek. Maybe you need to ask God to forgive you for your attitude. Maybe you need to ask the Lord just to make adjustments in your heart because you're selfish and you think about just yourself and not what's going on in the community. Because God is good. God's churches are supposed to be good. God's men of God are supposed to be good and God's women of God are supposed to be good. We're supposed to be good. We can't do it without Jesus. We can't do it without our hearts being right with Him and our lives being right with Him and our attitudes being right with Him. Anytime you disconnect from Jesus, it all falls apart. Amen? When you connect with Jesus and do it right, it's just right. Even through bad times and sorrowful times. I want to give you an opportunity this morning that wherever your heart is, don't be stubborn. Don't let your heart be hardened this morning. But be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit speaks to you about through this part of this message. Paul just loving the church, hungering to be with the church. Although Satan hinders him, he finds a way and sends a young man to check on him because he loves the church so much. He loves the people so much. And if you have an attitude that this church will never grow, maybe you need to speak to the Lord and say, Lord, let me be more optimistic. Let me be more in your line of thinking. Because Paul says, I want you to increase. You need to increase. We need to increase here. Not because of just numbers, but because of people. Every number is a person. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand. We'll give you an opportunity this morning.